Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Excuse me there. Good evening, Twin Cities, Millennium City, and Paragon City. It's Monday night. It's a little bit past 8 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America, on the planet Earth. And this is Paragon Radio, and I'm your host, Pogo Man. It's time for 90 minutes of fun, action, entertainment, and all that good stuff. Well, entertainment and, you know, anyway. But I'm not alone this week. No. Because, you know, we're closing in on an event we like to call DawnCon. So, let me bring on my co-host, the leader, one of the leaders of Paragon Dawn. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Others just say he's mad Viking.
Warning to listeners. The show you're about to hear has nothing to do with any Supreme Court decision. If you're expecting something, go away.
Just all decisions rendered are final by me, because my show. If you don't like it, tough. Oh, what a week, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's it. We're done. There you go. That's it.
What a week. That's it. And
I don't care if you're for it, against it, in the middle of it. That's
women,
a week.
Just women. I'm sorry. That's it. You have my sympathy, and I'm very sorry. And we can discuss it afterwards. And you have sympathetic ear.
I'm still sticking to for, against, or in the middle. Don't care. Moving on.
you have a sympathetic shoulder to cry on. Anyway, this is Paragon Radio, where we discuss all things superherodom, all things role-playing, comic books, movies, TV, all the fun stuff in life. Get your mind off of things like the Supreme Court, et cetera.
Yes.
Et cetera.
Yes.
So.
All right. And I'll kick off one, which I just informed you of.
Yes.
All during the What a Week last week, there were rumors that Disney was in talk with Johnny Depp to actually bring him back to play Jack Sparrow one more time.
Wow.
Until today, in which Johnny Depp was asked,
well, what
would
happened?
You go back? Someone asked Johnny Depp, would you go back to do one more? He goes, not if you have $300 million and 100 alpacas. Don't ask me how the alpacas got in.
Yeah, I don't know what the alpaca does. Yeah, I don't get this alpaca thing in Johnny Depp. I don't get the alpaca. Does he have an alpaca farm? I guess.
I just now see him, maybe he'll be filling in for number two with, if they ever do an Austin Powers remake. I would like to talk to you
about
alpacas. You can now see him doing a pitch to Dr. Evil. It's about alpaca farms. And he'll still go, but nope.
So this is...
Why not an alpaca?
That's right. So very great. Why not? That's funny. So, as we said, coming up July, the weekend of July 17th. It is July. Yeah, it's going to be July 17th.
Yeah. Yep.
Not too long from now. But last night, I watched history being made on pay-per-view. As you know, I'm a pro wrestling aficionado. Mm-hmm. It was basically the fantasy football of pro wrestling. You had All Elite Wrestling, AEW, and New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW. Their superstars got together, had an incredible pay-per-view called The Forbidden Door. Because, you know, in the world of pro wrestling with the major companies, it's considered sometimes forbidden that, God forbid, our company's wrestlers fight your company's wrestlers or acknowledge you exist, you know. And nowadays, it seems like everybody but WWE acknowledges all these companies exist. Vince McMahon is still in the 80s where, no, we won't acknowledge these other companies. We're the only company around.
Not
until
anymore.
Until he bought WCW. Until the 90s when they had the Monday Night War with WCW.
Well, not also and recent news with Vince. Vinny in big trouble.
Right, right. Well, actually, when they had the Women's Battle Royal Rumble, they had Mickie James, who was at that time the current Women's Impact Wrestling, the Impact Women's Wrestling mm-hmm. champion. She wore her belt, and they acknowledged her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, they acknowledged it. And everybody thought that was the coolest. They got credit for that. They got praise for that the next day. They acknowledged it. They were all over the internet. They had pictures of it. They had pictures of the TV screen where it showed it. And they had the Impact logo. And I was like, holy shit, they actually...
And let's not forget Slammiversary, where AJ Styles was able to talk about congratulating Slammiversary.
That's right.
There's a possibility now that Vince is no longer top man.
Well, you know what, though? They were talking about that. Bruce Pritchard, who formerly worked under Vince McMahon, he, you know, Laurinaitis, I can't remember his first name now. He's been fired. He's been like, John Laurinaitis, thank you.
Power to the people.
That's right. Power to the people. He's been let go. Bruce Pritchard was hired by Vince, or somehow he was hired to take his place. Bruce Pritchard does things the Vince McMahon way. Even though Stephanie McMahon is now the CEO, Bruce might be there doing things Vince is telling him to do his way. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, hey, what do you want done here? Da, 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 da. Because, let me tell you, Vince McMahon still does things with fifth grade pot of humor. And he doesn't understand, look, enough is enough. Even the kids are sick of the fifth grade potty. You don't want the fifth grade potty humor. Times have changed, Vince. It's not the 80s anymore.
No,
you're an 80-year-old fan.
No, Bruce Pritchard wasn't one of the Bonnie Donnas. I think Bruce Pritchard was, love you.
Yes, Bruce Pritchard was Brother Love. Yes, he was Brother Love. Yes, yes. No. There's no way in hell Bruce Pritchard was one of the Bonnie Donnas. Not even close. No, he's on the opposite scale end of the body. Yes, he had the body of Brother Love. So,
yeah, I'm going like, that would be the same thing. Too. What is that one guy's name? They always said he was fit, but every time he did jumping jacks, you saw more of his stomach bounce than the rest of his body.
Back
in the 80s, you see him. I know you see it happening.
I forget. Oh, right. Silver Great. That was Tom Pritchard. Right. That was Tom Pritchard who was in the Bonnie Donnas, right?
Yeah.
They might have been related. But, yeah, Bruce Pritchard, he was always an office guy. He was always, like, one of the writers. Yes. Oh, yeah, always talking about wrestling. As a matter of fact, when I was talking about my time at Wrestle Unstoppable, one of my friends from there, he left before I left. He got in touch with me this past weekend. We were talking about why we both left, and it's a shame the company turned out the way it did, that some players had money, that these group of players had the money. They wound up buying the game. And the problem is when you have players in a game, in a wrestling app.
Oh, Playboy Buddy Rich. That was the guy's name.
Oh, yeah. Playboy Buddy Rose.
Yeah, Buddy Rose.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, he had a gut and a half on him. That was AWA. That was an AWA.
And also WWE. He was like,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Saturday morning.
But he did that in AWA. He didn't do it in WWF. That was WWF at the time. He did that gimmick in AWA. They let him do it there. And when he came to WWF, he was just a jobber. Most of those AWA guys, when they came over, unless they were Nick Bockwinkel or the Rockers or Kurt Hennig, for example,
mm-hmm.
or Scott Hall. What's funny is when Scott Hall came over, he is from Texas. he was like a Tom Selleck looking Texas boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That teamed with Curt Hennig to get the tag team titles, and he didn't. He talked, but he didn't talk that much. He was still green when he won the World Tag Team Championships with Curt Hennig. And it was like, when Scott Hall came over and did the Razor Ramon bit, I was like, that's Scott Hall? That's what shocked me. I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be the same Scott Hall. It's another Scott Hall, right? And one of my friends said, nope, that's Scott Hall from AWA, the guy who was tag team champions with Curt Hennig. I was like, holy shit. Okay. I was like, wow, he goes from Texas Tom Selleck lookalike to, you know, being the Starface.
Ew.
Yeah. And actually, he started out, he was actually, before he was that, he in WCW, he was a diamond stud.
Yep.
And that didn't work out for him. So then he went to, between being himself in AWA, I think he went to WCW after that, and he was the diamond stud, DDP's bodyguard. That didn't work out for a while. That lasted just a little bit. And
someone on City Heroes are asking, what are we looking for?
What are we looking for?
Yeah.
Well,
outside of being on two games, I have to be his eyes sometimes. Sometimes I fail. But anyway.
That's right as I was giving him the link.
Yep. Anyway.
See, do you know what it is? A lot of people, like, oh, you got us the game back? Thanks. You can stop doing the fucking show now. We don't need you anymore. Fuck you. That's what I feel like. I feel like a lot, like, you know.
I mean, we just no longer say COH, just now Paragon Radio.
Right, that's what it's name of. But it's like, you know,
you always talked about starting up another wrestling show. It could be a case of, it's time. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? In September is the 10th anniversary of this show.
Okay. So we got to make it at least to the 10.
Yeah, a big deal. It's just, you know, whatever happened. You know what I mean?
And now we jinxed it. Because something always happens on the anniversary.
No, it's all right. No. It's all right. It's just, you know, it's just disappointing that, Anyway. So,
Well, like, let's see, keeping up, like I said, there are no new reports of Ship of Heroes.
Yeah, I haven't seen from City of Titans either since they did the one at the beginning of the year, unless they're putting them somewhere else I don't know about. So I don't know what the hell is going on.
Now, I did see a tease last week from one of the devs on City of Heroes. They got something in the works.
Okay.
And they wouldn't say, you know, anything in detail. They actually try to keep a secret.
Well, yeah.
So, but they said it's taken this long. Now, let's see. The last update we had on City of Heroes was November 26, 2021.
Okay, so it's almost 2 years. No, it's been like that. No, it's been almost
over half a year. We can say over half.
Definitely
a year.
Over half a year. Definitely over half a year. Right. And they are working with volunteer crew, so.
Right. So, we have, this could be, like, new missions or new zone.
A new zone would be friggin' awesome, but.
We don't know yet, but they did tease. They have something in the works.
Well, that new zone we have, Callisto Wharf, but that's like a,
That was an unfinished from the original game.
So maybe they're going to finish it off finally. Hey, here's Alto.
Maybe.
Wait a minute. nice hat. Nice hat. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Alto was one of the winners of the Dev Costume Contest this past Friday night. The theme was mascots. And since Alto is here, he cast Magic Missile.
In the dark.
Yes, sir.
At the darkness. In the,
yeah, I don't get that joke. I really don't. I don't.
It's from Dr. Demento skit. But anyway,
I can't power word dance at Alto.
Beady, 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 boogie. Who remembers who said that one? Not even you, Pogo, remembers that one?
Well, that was Tweaky from Buck Rogers, right?
Thank you. Okay. I was going to
leave. Okay. I was like, okay, what the hell? Okay. Hold on.
It's like, okay, I'm old. Get off my lawn, you kids. Minus 12.
He's looking at his character sheet.
Pogo Man Dodgers. Man. Oh, wait a minute. That means something blows up when you say Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Well, he didn't say that. He said Pogo Man Dodgers in the 2100th century. Wait, that's the 2100th
century.
Ball of iron drops on Pogo. Hold on. I moved out of the way.
As for champions, we are probably expecting the independent stuff.
That's soon. This Thursday, probably, right? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Alto's probably confirming it right now as we speak.
Still regret recently started watching Critical Role. For those who don't know, Critical Role actually got me to buy the fifth edition books a couple years ago. Critical Role is led by Dungeon Master Supreme Matt Mercer. That's all he does. He's just Dungeon Masters, and he's like voice actor supreme, and he's been dungeon mastering since he was in grade school for Pathfinder, and then he switched over to Dungeons and Dragons. And what they did, if I remember right, I think they started recording their games for the fun of it, and they put it on YouTube. Geek and Sundry saw it, picked it up. I think that's how it started. I don't remember how it started.
I'm sorry. One, well, we're on AFK, but two, take a look at Looking for Group on City of Heroes. Hero 2, gas prices. Level 1 tank, look
wait,
at
wait,
me.
Wait, wait, wait. Where am I? Where am I? Wait, I'm on City of Heroes. Where am I looking?
In the chat, Looking for Group.
Oh, Looking for Group.
Gas prices, level 1 tank, looking for AE farm, or so help me, will go to $7 per gallon.
Okay, that was cute.
That's a villain! That's a villain!
Yep. Okay, so hold on, let me finish this. So, I guess Geek and Sundry, which is Please Today's Twitch channel or whatever, I guess Shalada made a deal with them. They started broadcasting their D&D campaign once a week on her channels on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Matt Mercer and a bunch of his friends, they're all voice actors. And a matter of fact, this is how popular their group has gotten. They have their own channel now. The Legends of Vox Machina comic book. The Legends of Vox Machina became on Prime Net on the Prime Network on Amazon Prime Channel. They have their own cartoon show now. It was 8 episodes. I watched. It was a lot of fun. I started watching it, but it was just too much for me to watch from like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning after I've been up since like 4 a.m. that day taking my mom to dialysis. And sometimes they go later, like 2:30, and I'm like, all right, this is just too late in the day. And I'm like, and I think at that point, that's when we were discussing doing Champions Now, Champions Playing Champions. And I'm like, you know, and what they said is, if we inspire you to do your own role-playing, then go do that. Don't worry about watching us. Just go do your own thing. And it's like, yeah, why are we – and seriously, like, if we do our own thing, you know, I'd rather take time for us to do our own thing than watch them. But they are. They're a lot of fun. They're very creative, you know. And Matt Mercer, oh, my God. He comes up with voices for – stuff, and they have great story. It's basically, like I said, the role is role, like they put the role playing in critical, like what we were doing the Champions Now. I wish we had gone back to that. Like what we were doing, like there was 2 weeks where all we did was role play, and that's what I wanted, and I think that was great. Yeah, they had 10,000 on their Twitch. Yeah, and that's what I think they get more than that. I think by the time, but that's how many people they have.
Well,
actively.
We were doing pretty good when we were doing Champions Playing Champions on Champions. Especially
that's what I was
when you're,
we get back.
Yeah, especially with when your tune kicks someone's jaw off, and here I come, like, God damn it!
And I think we were just getting to the point where our characters knew each other. I think we were settling in, and the thing was like with them. It's like each of their characters had a background, and what fit into the campaign was, let's settle each character's storyline. Let's explore each character's story and let's help each character out and follow that. Like I've been in campaigns before, and this is what I got tired with D&D. It was like, no matter what your background is, we're never going to touch your character's background. I've had dungeon masters, and let me tell you, I refuse to play with this one. Draw together, crayon, cartel. Right, that was an inside joke we had. Let me tell you, like I said, I brought these things up because, like, when I GM, it's different than when other people GM. And I think our people like to role play with me. They like when I GM. I have a different style.
I think the best one, once again, it kind of involved me. After you kicked and pretty much killed two guys, here I come and go like, while I'm healing you, maybe I could talk to you about into the exciting world of accounting. And you roll.
Yeah, and right.
And next week we had the accounting firm of Viper.
Yeah, yeah. And I went like this with the newspaper. Look what you did. Look what you did. This is you. Well, the best is you're trying, like, we're hiding and you're trying to, like, roll around the dirt and we're sitting there. And all those of us who have acrobatics self, like, what are you doing? Is this how you guys do it? No. Not the least. And then, go on, but keep going. We're laughing. I mean, go ahead. You look great.
I was surprised no one went, you dropped your gun.
No, we were just like, huh? They have a Star Wars. They have different campaigns in there, too. That's what I think is cool. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have to voice its character. I mean, what they do is they do different characters, too. Right, like their voices, they do different voices, too. Because, like I said, they're all voice actors, so. What are you doing? Alto, what are you doing?
Casting shield?
I'm the DM. Are you trying to talk to DM? No, but actually he gave me his character. I don't want to give his character away, but I thought about this character.
AFK. Excuse me.
Wait, we have Dice Mountain CO now, so it's perfect for our upcoming D&D game. Yes, yes. But who's... Okay, I got a confirmation from Alto. I think Mad Viking's going to play.
I'm the only one that can do multiple on airing.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, if we want multiple people on the same line, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's true. I haven't got a confirmation from anybody else or anybody else interested so far, so it's the three of us. I'm thinking of playing a multi-class, ready for this one, Paladin of the Ancients / Warlock of the Fae. Wait a minute, you're interested but probably not. Why aren't you going to participate if you're interested?
As, before you say it, it's nothing like Family Feud. It has nothing to do with underwear.
Right. You could, because like tap with the Champions Now thing, you could just type away. You could just type. Like.
More interested in watching.
Oh, come on now. If you're going to watch, you can make up a character and play.
Oh, well, you have to admit, we did have some funny moments, especially when Rem and a couple of others started dressing as Jawas, and you're right here chasing them around the table.
Well, that's because I was waiting for you guys to make up your mind. I said, while you're making up your mind, I'm going to run around the table, too. I think that was a joke because we had a Jawa infestation. No, the joke was we had a Jawa infestation. I was dressed like a Ghostbuster. Now he's just like Orko.
I think he's supposed to be a Jawa.
That's a Jawa. They've upgraded.
What they need.
Okay. I never saw a purple Jawa before. Or a Jawa in purple robes before. Hang on.
Could be a Jawa priest.
Make sure. All right, hold on. To explain what I'm talking about, I'm probably just going, what the hell is a Paladin of the Ancients? When you make a Paladin, right? Yeah, I do too. I usually play rogues, bards, and cook. This is what I'm famous for playing. My best characters, high charisma, high intelligence, or a combination thereof. I play charismatic, intelligent characters. The hell? Oh, bees. Jesus Christ. And I think if you multiclass, I'm finding, and I read an article that this is the best way to do it. I noticed that if you multiclass, it's better if you have the same, it's easier if you have this, if you multiclass with the same ability scores. Okay, hold on a minute. So let me look this up. It's easy to read. Because I know at third level of a paladin, right, you have to take your sacred oath, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I take the oath of the ancients. Okay. And one of them could be with the fae folk. So I'm just going to read it really quick. The Oath of the Ancients is as old as the race of elves and the rituals of the druids, sometimes called fae, knights, green knights, or horned knights. Paladins who swear this oath cast their lot with the side of the light in the cosmic struggle against darkness because they love the beautiful and life-giving things of the world, not necessarily because they believe in principles of honor, courage, and justice. They adorn their armor and clothing with images of growing things, leaves, antlers, or flowers, to reflect their commitment to preserving life and light in the world. Okay. But good Lord, what happened? I was reading. What happened? Where is Alto? Who is this guy? Who is this dude in front of me? Hold on. Now, that's the first half. Now, the second half. The warlock part. Hold on. Now, what's funny is they actually have a thing. You could actually be a warlock of Cthulhu. But I'm not going that route with this warlock. Hold on. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, the warlock, you have to take a patron, right?
Right.
You need an otherworldly patron. However, you could take one of three, the Archfey, the Fiend, or the Great Old One. And yes, by Great Old One, Cthulhu can be your Cthulhu, in which I allow Cthulhu can be your patron. Okay? So it says here, your otherworldly patron. So this is what it says about the Archfey. Your patron is Lord or Lady of the Fae, a creature of legends who holds secrets that were forgotten before the mortal races were born. This being's motivations are often inscrutable and sometimes whimsical, and might involve a striving for greater magical power or the settling of old age grudges. Beings of this sort include the Prince of Frost, the Queen of Air and Darkness, ruler of the Glooming Court, Titania of the Summer Court, her consort Oberon, the Green Lord, Hersom, the Prince of Fools, and Ancient Hags. And then there's a whole bunch of powers you get. Like starting at first level, your patron bestows upon you the ability to project the beguiling and fearsome presence of the Fae as an action. You can cause each creature in a 10-foot cube originating from you to make a wisdom check. A wisdom saving throw, sorry, against your warlock spell save DC. The creature that fails your saving throws were all charmed or frightened by you, your choice, until the end of your next turn. And they got other things, but I think those two go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of, like, he's an old school paladin, like he's preserving the ancient ways of the world, like preserving the old code. The old code. So, yes, I know there's a lot more patrons by now, but I think that's kind of cool that, you know, he's preserving the old way, the old world, the old ways of the world.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, me, I will fill in whatever usually is needed. Because you remember
you're
the champions.
Yes. No. I just remember every time we have a group thing, like, okay, I'm going to play. You're going to be, you know what you're going to play? I know what you're going to wind up playing.
Me?
Healing Cleric.
Oh, no. I remember I've also mentioned I played Tinker Gnomes, Kender, Halfling.
That's right.
So, in other words, the Paladin riding on the Majestic Steed, all of a sudden the...
Wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, Alto is revealing what he's playing. A warrior bard dwarf. See, originally I was going to play a bard warlord, a bard warlock, and call him a bardlock.
Mm-hmm. The warrior bard combo. This reminds me of my group in Florida.
Hold on. Right. Silver Regret. I haven't played D&D since the year 2000. I haven't DM'd since I was 13. Any advice you could give me is great.
But anyway, like I said, this reminds me. Now let me set the picture. The group asked this question when I played in Florida. We had a Navy SEAL. We had an Army Ranger, and we had a Special Marine.
What is this thing in front of me?
I don't know.
What the hell?
I have no clue. But anyway, because we had the Ranger, Army Ranger, the Navy guy played a bard, and he was able to convince the DM to create a new spell called Summon Pissed Off Ranger.
This is an
actual taunt used on Army Rangers.
Okay.
Okay, and it goes like this. And when you sing, you got to swing your fingers left to right like you're conducting here. I don't go out where girls anymore. I live a life of danger. I sit in trees and play with myself. Whee! I'm a ranger.
Okay, I created this spell a long time ago. I used it a couple of times, and this is before my group split up. Okay, this now... Remember History of the World Part 1?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they're escaping on the chariot at the end of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
How do they get away?
It's a miracle!
But how do they get away? What after they get on the chariot and they get away, how do they get away once and for all? What tactic do they use?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I just blanked out. I'm ashamed of myself. I blanked out.
On the way to wherever they're going, they find something.
Oh, let's see. I know in Blazing Saddles they find a car.
Oh, no, before, okay, yeah. Before that, okay, on when they're being chased, and he goes, stop the chariot. I found something.
I'm blanked
Gregory
out.
Gregory Helms' character.
You gotta have to
Gregory,
fill the
Gregory, Gregory Hines character. He finds something that's green.
Again, I'm blanked out. I have admitted I have blanked out.
Okay. He finds the marijuana plants, the bushes on the side of the road. and he pulls out the rolling paper, the long thing of rolling paper. And he makes that big ass 10-foot long joint.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts puffing away, he makes that huge cloud of marijuana smoke. On the road,
mm-hmm.
And he lights the bush. They light the bushes on fire too. So they're taking off, and so now the Roman soldiers go through the.
Okay, now I remember. Okay.
He goes, "Hey, everybody, let's mellow out. You walk over there in a circle. I'm gonna walk over here in a circle." So this D&G group I had, right? I said, "I want to make that as a spell. I'm gonna make that as a fucking spell." So one night, we're sitting there. It's me and the DM. We're hanging out. We were swimming. We had a couple of beers. And finally, I said, fuck it, man. The movie just came on. Like, let's do this. We pulled out the books. We sat down. My mage's name was Simon. And the joke was, like, other people said, you could go. Hold on. Simon didn't say you could go. And he'd use one of his evocation spells to blast the guy half a mile down the road.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I have it downstairs. I will get it during the week, and I'll read it on air next week. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a spell written called Simon's Narcotic Cloud. I got to publish it somehow. I got to find it, and I got to publish it.
Okay, I will recommend if you want to use Summon Pissed Off Ranger, make sure the people you are playing it, there's not a person that is an Army Ranger.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Also, I wish I saved the link. There's a group on Instagram, and this woman, she made up all these spells. Like, she could summon a comfy armchair. Then she added flying comfy armchair. It's a higher level spell. Like, once you summon this comfy armchair, you can now make the comfy armchair fly for you. It's your flying steed. Because it's like one of the things. Like,
comfy
one of the things. I had an enchanter, and he would do stuff like he could summon, that spell that summons a house
mm-hmm.
overnight. He could do that.
I remember that one.
Mordekaiser's Mansion. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Hold on, I got the book here. Let me see if I can look it up. He could do stuff like that. Oh, it was great. Like, the first night I played him, he was kicking ass on his own. Like, there are these guys on this ballista trying to shoot us. I cast sleep, centered around the ballista, knocked out the whole crew. Next room we go to, there's a bunch of half-ogres drinking beer out of kegs. I had insatiable thirst. I cast Insatiable Thirst. They all failed the saving throws. I killed a room of half-ogres by myself. Everybody's looking like, gee, why don't you just take the whole dungeon by yourself? Like, hey, just relax. I think like half the dungeon I took off by myself. It's like, everybody's looking at me like, what fucking spells did you take? Like, you're an enchanter. And somebody went, a very effective one at that. Holy shit.
And his name is Tim.
The enchanter's name is Alice. No, that wasn't Simon. It was Alistair McCullen.
Okay.
And the funny thing was, DM's girlfriend time, because they had been going out for a couple of years, she wanted to play. And they thought it was easier if I helped her become a spellcaster. So I said, I got an idea. What if we're like twins or something like that? And So I said, what's the opposite of enchanter? I said, what if she's like a necromancer? And I'm like, oh, shit, that would be awesome. So she was like this dark necromancer. I was like this happy-go-lucky enchanter. And then we have this other guy. His name was Father Hugh. He was a cleric. And then DM, he played this bard. And it's like, who the hell thought this heavy spellcasting group could be so effective? Like, I did. Because once you get past, once you get to the mid-levels, remember, we're all casting spells. So once you get to those mid-rounds, as long as, you know, I said, as long as we're not finding anything anti-magic, we're kicking ass. And even at mid-level, if we need to, we could hire people to help us fight. So, what is Alf saying? Tim, the mind flip before. wait, what's going on? Wait. I'll tell. But Algorand's steel keg, for some odd reason, likes elves. I'm like his kin who just. Oh, all right. I had to balance my spell casting with going fucking mental. LOL. See, everybody's talking here at once. You guys need to write this down and send me this stuff because I can't. We can't have our discussion here. I can't read a chat because I'm checking another chat room at this. I'm checking two other chats at the same time.
Yeah. And speaking of which, AFK. Oh,
yes, I did. I'm taking care of that now. Yes.
Okay.
So I can't check that chat. I can't check the main chat. Not the main chat. Actually, I have to go back into that chat room. Hello, Bloody Wolf. Sorry I didn't say hello earlier. Well, a few minutes ago.
Quite a few minutes ago.
Well, was it? It said 24. That was 8:48. So it's 8:47.
All right,
now,
once again, let's refresh memory. July 4th is a Monday.
That's
and
right.
I think
you
said
you know
we are
funny?
Not going to be
you,
on.
What? You know what's funny? You said July 4th next year, not next month, when you asked me about that. You
okay.
said next year. And I'm like, why is you worried about next? Like, sure, we'll have off next year. And then I went, wait, I think he meant next month, but I swear he said
month.
Next year. Yes.
We will review the old one and make sure that was a bit of a faux pas on me. But anyway, next week.
Either way, next week is 4th of July, and we are off for next week's show, which gives me an extra night to read. And I have a whole stack of books I have to get through. I'm trying to get through stuff here. And let's see here. 1, 2, 3. We are less than 4 weeks away from the game. So, but seriously, for everybody who's interested, for those who are interested in playing and you can't talk on air, you can type in a chat. We will have the chat room open. This is what we're going to do.
We have
we
done
are going
voices
to,
before.
I was going to say this. What we did for Champions Now. We went to the WCOC conference room. For those of you in Champions Online with us right now, we're in the WCOC studio. If you go out this room, go down the hallway, take a short right now, because remember, you're not coming in here. The big conference room is right down the hallway from here. That's where we played. We played in game on Champions Online, just making sure I got the game right. I watched it. With my Twitch TV station, Paragon Radio. Now, obviously, since we're in here, we'll have the Twitch, not the Twitch. I know I was going to screw this. It's complicated. We'll have a special chat open for players and fans who just, or for players, just to focus on the game. So I can just look at that for the game. Okay. People could talk, you know, we'll have a chat, we'll have a Skype thing open or whatever to talk. However, if you don't want to talk on the microphone, you could just type it in the chat. That's what I'm saying. People like, I just want to watch. I don't want to play. I don't want to talk. You can just type it in. That's why I'm saying that. That's why I'm giving you guys the option.
If everyone remembers, we had one person we knew was on. We heard a bell.
Yes, I know.
Right.
I want to say the Champions Now thing because I'm hoping we could still pick up that game again. I'm hoping we could pick up the Champions Now campaign. If we want to do D&D, I could DM both. Once I get the hang of D&D again, I'm hoping we could do both campaigns because I saw the character sheets from everybody's characters. No, I'm serious. I'm not laughing. I'm serious. I would love to do a Champions campaign.
No, I know,
you know,
man. I'm just going like, your character will be going like, I just kicked him, broke several ribs. He's coming out. He's coming out. God damn it, here he is.
Hold on. Tape his mouth shut. Where's the guy you were fighting? I don't know. I kicked him. He disappeared. He disintegrated. What's that over there? Nothing. I don't know. It's under a blanket. Why is he moving? He's not moving. He's dead. I mean, it's nothing. It's just a pile of stuff. Why is it? It's not moving. Damn it. Oh. Well, look at that. It's the guy you just kicked. He's a master of stealth. He disappeared on me. And how did he get tape around his mouth? He's so tough, you didn't want anybody to hear him crying. You expect me to believe that? Yep. Did it work? I mean, did it? I mean, did it? I got to go. Bye.
And all of a sudden, it was like, while I'm healing you, maybe I could talk to you about the exciting word of janitorialism. And then we get a cleaning service.
Will you stop trying to convert people? Why don't you start a new religion? See if they'll convert to that, too, while you're at it.
I'll never forget the reaction when you did that role. It's like, they're actually considering it!
Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Yeah, I know. Well, I had to play it, you know. I'm trying to beat the shit out of them, and you're converting them. What the?
And the thing is, it worked. According to your role, it worked. Let's see. I was talking, using my charisma, doing a power at the same time. I had so many pluses on that role.
Poor Alto. He went to open that soda can. He failed his saving. He failed his roll. He failed its raise in his face. I swear to God, when I was working at Verizon, we were downstairs for a while. We had this soda machine down there, and everybody thought it was demonically possessed. Okay. Anytime somebody got a soda out of this damn machine, right? It was like you wanted to open it and hide at the same time. Because it was like, yeah. And if they were bottles, it would just the second you just like open it just a little bit, you could see the thing starting to shoot out. Well, one time, that didn't happen. I was like, oh, shit, it's fine. I took a drink. I put it down. Wait, this is the funny thing. Put it down, right? As I put it down, that's when it exploded. When I put it down before I could put the cap on, everybody's like, what the hell? And I'm like, give me the cap. And I'm putting the cap on.
Well,
like,
it's not the same like it used to be in the 70s and early 80s. For those who don't know, the open tab used to be a pull tab. When you shook that thing up, and you opened it with a pull tab, you get a geyser, and you're going like, how much was in that can?
Yeah. It was funny, because it would drown somebody. And you'd still have a full can of soda somehow. You'd still get
yeah.
a full can.
With fizz.
It's like, how many ounces were in this thing? Don't you worry about it. How is there so much in there?
I miss those days.
Right?
I still remember,
remember
that
what?
Went to the ceiling and stained the ceiling.
Oh, good Lord. Remember when the new Coke came out and like almost like within 2 weeks they had Coke Classic already?
Yep.
Like, now, let me ask you a question. Do you think they actually went back and did research and bring it out, or do you think they were ready to unleash this campaign?
Well, this was also the same time of Crystal Pepsi.
Right, but it just seemed to me like they said they were changing the formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked it.
Nobody.
Nobody like. And it's like, we heard your cries. We heard what you had to say. We're bringing back the original. And I was like, how'd you bring it back so fast? How'd you do the marketing? How'd you get all this shit done so fast? You know what I mean? Like, they had new packaging, new that, new distribution ready in 2 weeks. It usually isn't done that fast unless it's ready already.
Well, remember, this was also a time period where they actually printed the 1-800 number.
Right, but what I'm saying is
that board must have been lit.
I'm thinking they had to know ahead of time it wasn't going to be, you know what I mean? I mean, because, you know what I mean? With marketing and advertising, the way it works, you don't come up with a new label like that overnight. That's just not how advertising works.
And you're being tapped.
I need to ask by who. What are you doing? Why are you doing these things?
Anyway, with the roll of newspaper.
Seriously?
It's an actual power, rolled up newspaper device.
I know it is. I don't know why he's running. Why?
Your target is shamed for 10 seconds, causing them to think about their life choices. Oh, so you can now you can join the accounting firm of Viper and Viper.
I'll do no such thing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm taunting him. There, I taunt out, though.
Now go away, or we will taunt you a second time.
You naughty feline type. You come over here again, I will taunt you a second time.
It applies same default.
I will now use Tasha's uncontrollable, hideous laughter upon you.
Yeah, and usually, if memory, depending on the DM, this is a feather duster that tickles your stomach.
That's right.
Those who remember Dawn Manation, I think that's where Coconut got the idea for the tickle attack.
I have to bring this up now from this past week. For those of you who have not seen the finale of season one of Obi-Wan Kenobi, shame on you. For those who have, in episode 4, A New Hope, when Darth Vader goes, when last we fought, I was but the learner, that is the fight they are referring to. Mm. Not episode 3, this fight in the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh my God. Find a way to watch it. If you watch nothing else, watch that fight.
Well, it is time once again.
And then just remember that when episode 4 happens, Kenobi is only 58 years old, and the years were not kind to him on Tatooine. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm ready. Yes.
Here we go.
I've gone. Yes. My intern bots, they went to the tome. They went to the tomb to get the tome.
I was about to say, minions? I didn't hear anyone going, but that's all. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, okay. Yes. They got the book. They got the book we're going to read from. So, in the history of comic bookdom and superherodom, you know, you got some cool heroes. You got the Avengers, Fantastic Four, depending on who wrote them. You got the X-Men, the Justice League, the Teen Titans. And then you get these guys. These half-baked heroes from comic book history. The ones that make you go, who thought them up, who the hell published them, how they get published, why, who bought these books.
What drugs were they on? Where can we sell it?
That's right. I may get them anymore. Anyway, they are the League of Regrettable Superheroes. First, we go to the Golden Age. Okay, so our first hero, if you want to call him that, was created by Ted Udall, Emmanuel Denby, and Frank Harry. The debut was in Flash Comics number 29, or DC Comics, in May of 1942. Alternate unused identities, the Lifeless Legionnaires, the Departed Do-Gooders. A quote, "Funny thing, to know you're dead and still be able to talk about it. Well, we had it coming." I refer to our next entry, our new entry, Ghost. I'll try again. Our entry is Ghost Patrol. The Ghost Patrol weren't the only characters in comic books who started their superheroic careers post-mortem. There's going to be one called Kid Eternity coming up soon. And then there's one, Nemesis. But a few other resurrected super do-gooders seem to have as much fun. In life, the men who would eventually become the Ghost Patrol were lantern-jawed Fred, handsome and vain Pedro, and the ironically named Slim. Professional soldiers of fortune, these friends and fellow pilots had the bad timing to enlist in the Foreign Legion just prior to France falling under Nazi control. Now taking orders from Germany's military commanders stationed in northern Africa, the trio is sent on all manner of unsavory missions against their better judgment, including a bombing raid targeting helpless civilians. But their consciences get the better of them in mid-flight, underlining their moral quandary. Fred drawls resentfully, "We never joined this outfit to kill women and children." Deciding to dump their deadly payload harmlessly in the middle of the empty desert, the pilots discover too late that Henry, their mechanic who had tried to warn them against flying this mission, had sabotaged the planes. Rather than see them used for wholesale slaughter, Henry would see them destroyed by time bombs. An explosive airborne moment later, and Fred, Pedro, and Slim have all shuffled off their mortal coil. But they're not gone long. The reason for this resurrection is never fully explained, but the pilots find themselves standing above their own broken bodies. Even more alarmingly, they can see right through one another. Near invisibility isn't the only power the newly dubbed Ghost Patrol picks up. Besides the power of flight, they can also pass through solid objects, stretch and even separate their body parts, turn to smoke, summon storms, and call down lightning. Better still, they can become completely visible and solid. In fact, death doesn't seem to be much more than a minor inconvenience for the men, who are happy to turn their powers to bedeviling Nazi aggressors throughout Europe. Reuniting with Henry, whom they seem to have forgiven for his deathly shenanigans, the Ghost Patrol's first mission is to direct a full complement of their supernatural powers at their evil former commander. Once the local bad guys are sorted, the spectral soldiers aim higher and closer to Berlin. That's right, they spend their second appearance hassling Hitler. Indeed, the Ghost Patrol frequently makes the top Nazi a special priority throughout their career. A standout adventure from early in the run involves the men swiping... Hold on, you're going to like this one. Swiping Hitler's false teeth. Mit mein Tisch. I cannot scream. If I cannot scream, how can I be the Führer? Oh, good Lord. Cries a gum-toothed Hitler into a full-length mirror. After World War II wrapped up, the Ghost Patrol eked out another half-decade of adventuring, shifting their focus from Axis armies to everyday mobsters. In 1949, the group vanished, for real this time, and the Ghost Patrol has been AWOL from comics ever since. But the nice thing about a concept like this, you can never fully write off any characters who have already beaten death. I think that's nice they lasted that long.
And you know there were cursed.
Go ahead.
You know they were cursed when one of the Ghost Patrol's members, their later on descendants, since you said parts of their bodies fall off, will become Fall Off Farm Boy.
Oh, good Lord! Yes, yes. I hope I did that Hitler well. How could I be Hitler with my hands and my teeth? My teeth. And Starlight Dreamer has joined us over in City of Heroes. Before I continue on, over in the WCOC buildings over in Champions Online, Alto has joined us. As we said, Silver Grit. Natalia Kromstock is all hanging out on the table. Alan, with the usual Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom. Who am I forgetting?
The combination alien and flower creature.
Yes, I don't know whose this is or what is this or what his name is, but he's standing right at the edge of the table staring at me. I don't know what this is, so. Wait, there's Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom. Isn't there another third one?
Alan, Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom. One, two, three.
Okay, that's... Oh, okay, that's it. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, on to our second. Now on to the Silver Age. Okay, here we go. And this selection was created by Wally Wood. They debuted in Unearthly Spectaculars number 2 of Harvey Comics in December of 1966. They're also known as Rent-A-Hero, Lee's the Lawman, and Venda Vigilante. The quote is, "We've got a private club with unique personalities, but we have no purpose, no goal to achieve. I speak of none other than Miracles, Inc." The hero-for-hire motif is surprisingly popular in superhero lore. Costumed vigilantes have to get their money somewhere. So it's only natural for some Cape Crusaders to seek compensation for their efforts. Miracle Inc., a short-lived and lighthearted expedition into this idea, was initiated by comics legend Wally Wood, a veteran of EC Comics with extensive experience in both science fiction thrillers and satirical comedy. Wood had created the straight-laced superheroes known as the Thunder Agents. But for Miracles, Inc., Wood embraced superhero camp in a lighter vein. The Miracles, Inc. heroes operated out of a nondescript house in the American Midwest, far from New York's multitude of high-class superhero HQs. Their leader, the mysterious Professor Who, an elderly and brilliant scientist. The other members of Miracles, Inc. include Manlet, the Mighty Mite, who stands no taller than a sparrow and subsists on a diet of birdseed. Misfit, a hep-talking, hairy man-mountain. Don't blow your cool, Prof. Reflex, a wing-headed super speedster who delivers lightning justice. In his debut, he's easily tripped up by an opponent who merely steps out of his path. Thermo, the human inferno, who uses his powers primarily to keep the coffee hot and the ice cubes cold. Una, queen of the love stare, and also the professor's daughter, whose focused glance singes her opponents with undying adoration. Another love-struck victim, she crows after one battle, "I'm simply overwhelming." Clang, the brain and brawn robot, who unfortunately gets too caught up in performing complex mathematics to effectively fight crime. Lastly, the wizard, Cold, a master of sorcery, Although he is portrayed only as a strategic genius and is assigned mop duty by his peers. Wow. In their second appearance, the team is joined by two new members, Super Chief, the crime-fighting gourmet, and Kaput, the Prince of Jinx, whose bad luck energy causes the bad guy's plans to come apart. The team manages to attract the attention of the Institute of Infamy, consisting of the Gong, King Cactus, Chain-O-Rama, and a crook named Counterfeit, armed with gimmick coins. A dramatic battle ends with Miracles, Inc. reigning victorious, which seems like a fortuitous place to end their run. And that ends their description.
All right, two issues.
And finally, we go to the modern era of superheroes. And this one was created by Joey Cavieri and Stan Woke. It debuted in World's Finest Comics, Volume 1, Number 310, DC Comics, December 1984.
Oh, no.
The brand of character is well-intentioned, well-trod. It's, quote, Sonic, Master of Sound, a superhero to take the 80s by storm. And it is Sonic with a K at the end, S-O-N-I-K. Comic book superheroes spent their first few decades as an unintegrated lot. Non-white characters were typically depicted as offensive or degrading caricatures, such as Captain Marvel's switchblade-wielding pal, Steamboat, the Spirit's second-in-command, Ebony White, and the Blackhawk's Bucktooth Cleaver-happy Chinese cook, Chop Chop. Good Lord. Just to name a few. It wasn't until the late 1960s that the first African-American comic book superhero debuted, Marvel Comics' The Falcon, who followed comics' first black superhero, African prince-slash-crime-fighter, the Black Panther, by a few years. Since then, efforts have been made to create more ethnically and culturally diverse superheroes with credible origins and motivations. Not all the attempts have been successful. Enter Sonic, an inner-city superhero with the power of sound at his command. Like a large number of African-American superheroes who debuted in the 1970s and 80s, Sonic calls the streets his home turf. His character arc is equally familiar. Will Parker, born in an economically depressed urban center, leaves on a full college scholarship and returns with degree in hand to better a lot of the neighborhood, blocking his best efforts. Hold on. Yeah, I got that right. Blocking his best efforts are the local players, gangsters, shakedown artists, drug dealers, and pimps, homegrown crooks whose big success makes them role models to the current generation of kids. Applying the engineering degree, Parker creates an arsenal of sound-powered weapons and gimmicks. Like a jacked-up Walkman that produces a sonic boom, he takes to the streets as Sonic, decked out in a yellow jacket, orange leotards, and around a half a dozen metal-studded leather bands and bandanas. The hero resembles a wardrobe explosion on the set of a music video. Debuting alongside veteran heroes Superman and Batman, Sonic nonetheless manages only a pair of appearances. He uncovers a criminal conspiracy involving the Middle East and then plays bodyguard to a musical performer who bears more than a passing resemblance to Michael Jackson and who is apparently under attack from mad robots. Why didn't Sonic succeed? It certainly wasn't for lack of good intentions, but Sonic seemed to be retreading or misstepping across familiar ground. DC already had an African-American superhero who'd return to clean up his old neighborhood, the more popular electric hero, Black Lightning. Also, Sonic was pretty firmly ensconced in the 1980s. A hero with a portable cassette player strapped to his belt seems unlikely to survive in the 21st century. Okay, and that's all you have for this week.
I was actually about to say DC also already had a African-American Sonic-powered hero in the Legion of Superheroes with Tyroc.
Right, right. But that's Legion of Superheroes, and that's in the future, though.
But it was still in the modern age category.
Right, true. Okay. And then I was thinking of Vibe. That's a minority superhero.
That brings up the Scooby-Doo rule about Scrappy. We will never mention that name.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. Never bring right. Maybe that's. I think that's maybe that's why it failed, because it brought up. Like I said, it. they can. Okay, hold on. Wait. Alto says here. Shut up. Oh, I see what he's doing. Shamon. What I said about Michael Jackson, okay.
Yep. Yeah, but we don't talk about that character. No. No.
That's right.
We have the Spider-Man rule, you know, everyone gets one. Then there's the Scrappy.
Oh.
Don't talk about Scrappy.
I found out. This is this creature in front of me is Alto's action figure called Zeno.
Ah. So it is an alien related. Okay.
Well, look at it. Wouldn't you say it is?
Yeah, that's how I. That's what I said.
Goodness gracious! Jump. Why is that jump?
Hold on, we got a switch. Here we go.
All right. So far, it's me, Alto, Mad Viking for the D&D campaign. And one person's going to watch us play.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we did the radio thing and the Twitch thing, we actually were starting to build up watchers and listeners.
Right. And we did have
the shenanigans that went along.
Well, we did have a solid crew. We did have a solid group, so, of players. So we had like mm-hmm. six players, so. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'd like to have, like, a solid group there, so. That's what I'm saying. We got to figure out a day. I'd like to have a day before DawnCon that we can make up our characters.
Mm.
So that's why I'm saying we can use the player's handbook. I have Xanathar's Guide. What is it called? Xanathar's Guide to Everything, I think it's called. And the Eberron.
In other words, he shows us the book, and the first rule is always carry a towel.
Huh? Yes. That's right. All right, so Player's Handbook. Hold on, I'm going through it right now. This is the exact name of the book, Eberron Rising from the Last War. And then Xanathar's Guide to Everything. Those are the books I have. Is Deathrunner going to participate? I don't know. I haven't heard from Deathrunner. I haven't heard from anybody except Alto and Mad Viking. So,
just a matter of we hear it, then we'll know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. I really haven't started work on anything yet because I don't know who's going to be there. I could do a pre-made. I think of the first game where you're going to do a pre-made game just to see how things flow, just see if how, because I haven't DM'd. So I want to do something that's going to be, I want to say not easy, but something for me to get the hang of it. Yeah, I remember like Champions Now, I had played Champions. I have GM Champions so many times in the past, you know, and it was just more like a refresher for me. And it was basically new rules for everybody. We were learning it as we were going along. D&D, you know, like I said, I haven't played in 20 years. And 5th edition is a different animal than 2nd edition was. I mean, back then we played 2nd edition. You know, had I wanted to, if I hadn't played Warhammer 40K, maybe I would have found looked for a group and said, hey, do you guys, I like to play 2nd edition with, they had these things called the power option books.
Okay.
I would have played with those.
Right back. Just putting myself on mute.
Okay. I would have played with the power option books. Although what's funny is the lad, that character I told you, Simon, he was a wizard. He was a mage. Straight mage out of the player's handbook. Because for a couple of years since those books came out, I think all those option books came out in 95. And this is like 1999. I was getting sick of the option books. We had a bard who used the complete bard options book. And he played a bard. And it wasn't even a bard. I don't know what he was making. But it was like, dude, you don't have any of the bardic abilities now. I was like, I don't know what you're playing. But at that point, I realized, okay, options are cool. If you change like one or two of them, not, you know, change the class to the point it's not even the class anymore. So, you know, like I said, the most fun I had after those option books came out, played a straight mage, and everybody was like, you can cast? And I was like, yes, because I'm playing a straight mage. Regular straight mages can cast any spell they want to. Because everybody was used to playing specialist mages. And specialist mages, they can't cast from their opposing school. I didn't have to worry about that. I was a regular mage. I had no opposing school. And what I liked was they had the universal school, which every mage had, where you had the basics like read and write magic, detect magic, certain spells that, like, I think every mage should know or learn from. So that, I think that was cool that no matter what you specialize in, every mage could learn these spells.
All right, back.
So that was that. But yeah, I was just saying, I think for the people who played, like I said, it was a thing, like I said, getting ready for when 4th edition came out. People said, yeah, we kept playing 2nd edition, or they played 1st edition. Matter of fact, I think somebody told me they have this campaign going from 1st edition, from when they were kids. They had grown up. They'd stayed friends for all these years. Their kids were growing up. Now their kids were playing with them. When they were in high school, their kids were playing with them. It was like two generations of players where the parents' original characters were there as NPCs. Or from time to time, they would get involved in the game just from minor things. So now the kids were playing, the parents made up new characters, and they were playing along with them. You know, it was just cool stuff like that. And they still have the game. They still have this campaign going now.
Okay, and you got an AFK.
Okay. Even 2nd edition people, you know. Because 2nd edition came out in 89. So remember, 1st edition only came out in 78. So, and I started playing about 81. So,
About the same time with me.
Yeah, and back then they had the, I remember they had the basic and the expert box sets. I think that's what we played, and then we moved out by 82, 83. I was done.
Oh,
with
yes, basic D&D. What comes with the crayon that you must rub across the dice so you could see the numbers.
Which I think was so stupid. But what's funny is they had the basic, they had the expert, and then they had two more sets. One set came out where you could become immortal because you went on these quests to become an avatar. It was like, what? But what I find funny is as they go along, like I remember 2nd edition, you could, like 1st edition, as long as you survived, there was no upper limit to your level. 2nd edition, I think the experience points went up to level 36, but you could go. That's what it was. I never got that book, the one option book I didn't have. You could go up beyond, you go up to 36th level, and then you had a book, level 36 and beyond. I don't know what 3rd edition lets you do, but I know 5th edition, I think you can only get up to level 20.
About there, yeah.
So I think that's kind of silly. I was reading, if you multi-class, though, it can only be 20 combined levels. I don't like that. I think you should be able to do 20 levels in both. I have to work on that. I think you should be able to do 20 levels in both. Just make it, like, higher experience points for those levels.
All right. Well, let's see.
But that's just me. That's just me. Anyway, I just want to say Obi-Wan came out this week. Ms. Marvel had her 3rd episode this week. I think next week we're going to do less D&D talk, and we're going to start out the week after, because
yeah.
Obi-Wan had season finale this week. This week's past episode, oh my God, of The Boys. If you missed this one, you have time to go back and watch it, because oh my God, it's the one to talk about. Remember that thing we were talking, that storyline we were talking about, you don't want to miss? It was this week. It was this week's episode, this past week. So go check that one out. Watch this week's episode. Everybody in the United States, have a happy and safe 4th of July. Don't drink too much. If somehow you get fireworks, you know they're illegal. I know a lot of people get their hands on them. Be safe with them. If you're going to use them, be safe with the kids around. Be safe with other people around. Don't go throwing them at people.
For God's sakes, considering what happened with last week, be careful, period, if you're in a city.
Yeah, what happened last week in the city?
Protests, riots.
Yeah, I missed. Okay, yeah, you can send me information. I missed that whole thing. But be safe. Read those comic books. Watch those superhero movies and TV shows. You got 2 weeks to catch up on stuff and to watch new stuff, etc. For those people, again, if you want to be involved in the D&D campaign we're starting, let me know. Because I'm trying to read all these books to get all this information ready. Or we can do that. Or if you want to do champions now, I will do a one-time D&D. Or we could do both. We could find nights where I'm available to do both games. Okay? Let me know what you guys want to do. If you want to find a night to go, hey, let's do D&D one night. Let's do champions the other night. Okay? If you guys want to do both, let me know what you guys want to do. But either way, let's figure out in the next couple weeks, let's figure out a night we all get together and we make our characters together. Alto and Mad Viking, you guys are there. Do you guys remember the dice rolling thing we used? The name of that program?
I'm sure if I still have the chat. I didn't jump out. So it's just a matter of scrolling
right
up if it goes that far back.
I have to, I got to find that on mine. For some reason, though, it's not on my thing now.
All right, well, we got less than a minute.
All right, well, find it if you can. And for some reason, I don't have that channel on my thing now.
Yeah, I think you jumped off.
I didn't mean to, though. I didn't mean to jump off it. I don't know why. I must have done it by accident. All right, guys, 10 seconds. Get in touch with me, guys, if you remember what it was. Otherwise, I'll look for one for free online. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll be back for the 11th, July 11th. And that'll be the week before DonCon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll be back the week before DonCon. Oh, my goodness. Things are rapidly getting. And that week, I will talk about – I dropped my mouse. I'll talk about the ExtraLife.org Charity Gaming Marathon.
Okay.
Have a great week, everybody. We're probably off air when I mentioned that.
Yep.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. All right. You go do the
Greatest Gen podcast. Yep.
Thank you. Greatest Generation podcast on Dawn Radio.live. Embrace the Dawn. Yeah, if you want to discuss making a character, just make whatever. We could survive, you know, if you have an idea what you want to make. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something online that has, like, a free thing, a download of the player's handbook somewhere.
More than likely. All right. I got to get going.
All right. Yeah, you do that. I'll talk to you later. I'm ending the podcast now. I'll talk to you during. You could get in touch with me. So right. I'm ending the show now. Have a great, enjoy. If I don't talk to you until afterwards, have a happy 4th of July, America.
All right. Have a
and
good
to
night.
The rest of the world, have a good night, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. All right. Have a good one. Good night, all. You guys rock. We're out of here.